On the Outside Looking In. Written by Asuka Kureru. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Homestuck. Rating Teen and Up. Category Gen. Also tagged for Trollstuck, Post Suburb Sagrub, POV Outsider, Pale Romance Moral Allegiance, Ashen Romance Auspistice. Part 5 of the Covalent Bonds series. Recorded for Hananobira for ITBE 2016. Chapter 1. Octans. You can't help but like your upstairs neighbor, even though he's a little shit who tunes up his music way too loud at odd hours. He's this plucky little rusty with amazing horns. He knows how to slice and dice a guy in like 2 seconds. And once, when you broke your thermal hull during the dim season, he was neighborly enough to ask his pale bro to fix it for you. Even though ain't no way to get to know him in the course of normal conversation. Also, when his feather beast Lucis died, you weren't there when it happened, but afterwards, he was just like a little robo dude, rambling on automatic behind his facade and not even knowing it was cracked to hell and back, pretending like it was just a fact of life and he didn't mind. So, yeah, okay, you are vaguely pale on your upstairs neighbor. He's just such a little badass in a lot of ways. But that's really only the wrapping around a delicious, sugary cloud confection center of social awkwardness and too nice to live long. Lucky for him, less lucky for you, his Moirel is badass all the way through. So yeah, okay, you're nursing a bit of a crush, but you don't let it get to your head. You just... When there's water dripping all over the wall of your food preparation block, you might be less annoyed than the circumstances warrant. Hey, Mom, I'm going up to talk to Dave, yeah? She croaks something displeased back. You get a couple of buzz beasts from the jar for her to munch on, and you get out to the staircase and get climbing. This high up, all the worm lights are dead, but he never bothers to complain enough to have them replaced. You're mildly worried, but really, the only neighbor this high is him, and he ain't the type to set up an ambush. Too trusting by half, you despair a little of keeping him safe. Okay, yes, it's not your job to keep him safe. You knock at his door and holler through. David, stop molesting the showerhead. I've got water all through my hive. You don't. It's really just one room. But the puddle is going to reach the edges soon, and then it'll get into all sorts of appliances, and if that happens, crush or not, you might get a little annoyed. No response. You knock again. Dave! Come on, you're never out. Don't front. Then again, maybe he's on the roof. You swear some days it's all the moonlight he gets. Too bad it has to come peppered in concupiscent come-ons from that bag of fuck slime from the next hive stem over. Asshole can't even settle on red or pitch. It's as visible as Dave's horns in a crowd that all he wants is to wet his bulge. And he's loud, too. You're sure even Lalika from 2 floors down gets to hear everything about his gross flirting. Some days, you're almost tempted to slip a mention to Dave's Moirel, so he can settle this for everyone. It's kind of really not your place to go behind Dave's back on this, But the disturbance is bad enough that you'd totally do it if Dave's Moirail wasn't so fucking terrifying. You're about to turn around and head for the roof when the door cracks open. Rust-red shades tilt up to stare you in the face. His mouth is, as always, a flat, neutral line, and you are very much not thinking about rubbing your thumb over it and nudging it into a smile. Nope. Sup. Heyo, don't know if you've noticed, but you've got a leak. My food prep block is like halfway to becoming a pool. I ain't got secret gills, so that's kind of a bit of a problem. You get me? You're totally babbling. Fuck. He just nods. Yeah, the shower's water tank decided it could not deal with having me and exploded all over my fine gray ass. Been trying to contain that flood. I don't think I have enough buckets in the whole hive. And as you're still trying not to cough and flush a fugly yellow, he steps back from the door and pushes it open. Mind giving me a hand until my bro gets here? Oh man, he's inviting you into his hive. He is inviting you into his hive! You manage cool. You think, when you nod and step in. Hands pointedly stuffed deep in your pockets. But inside, you're all a flutter. Like you ain't 6 paragrees away from going off-world. Then again, ain't like you're gonna have time to convince him to elope if his pale bro is on the way. You try not to be too obvious as you steal glances at everything. So far, it's pretty much exactly like you expected it to be. A mass of game grubs not even penned and slowly traveling across the floors, a half-dead couch, and a fairly nice view screen that you think is probably secondhand. But if it's from his Moirail, that doesn't mean it's not better than new. Lucky bulge clod. You don't get to see his respite block, which is probably good for the state of your blood pusher. The water sprinkling closet is... He wasn't kidding about the buckets. Oh dear Empress, there's like 5 of them wedged underneath the leaks. Only 2 of them a proper, somber, understated gray with sign. The rest of them are like... sparkly. One of them has a feather fuzz trim, for fuck's sake. Is he making a concupiscent pass at you? Dude, it's a joke bucket. Can you imagine getting the feathers all stuck to your ass by your own jizz? Yeah, that'd be hot. Breathe. He is totally not saying anything about the pink one with sparkles, you notice. Or the eye-searing green and animal red polka dot one. Too much information! Shut up, lil' turd. I'm breathing just fine. Why the hell didn't you use a can? You gotta have a lot of empties you haven't carried down yet. Or a dishwashing basin. The edges straight, right? Fit better against the wall. He stares up at you for a second, and then slaps his own forehead. Yeah, okay. Let it not be said that I am not a fucking dumbass some days. Be right back. Oh, hell. He's so cute. You step into the water-sprinkling closet itself and go on tiptoes to get a better look at the tank, and you remind yourself that it means nothing that he left you alone in his own hive, free to wander off and nose around. He's just going back and forth. There's no time to get anywhere, and likely he'll see you anyway. Look how nice I am, not even saying anything about that, you call after him. Also, do you got any plastic wrap and, like, sticky-sided tape? He does. You busy yourself trying to stick the plastic to the crack. It is, of course, super wet and won't work worth a damn. And also your shoulders hurt and you're damp and goddamn are you pale for that asshole. And you don't get how he won't see that, because when he offers you an overturned pail to use as a stepladder, you don't even bean him with it a little. You're about to point out that feat of generosity when the front door clicks open, even though David is right beside you. Motherfuck. Okay, no. Time to shut your trap and give up. You give making the plastic stick a last try for the road, and then you lower your sore arms and turn around and holy shit, there are 2 people pressing at the door of Dave's tiny-as-fuck ablution block penning you in. And the both of you are still surrounded by buckets. You're sure you've seen pornos like this? Shit. Dave's Moirail is staring right at you. You can't see his eyes behind his brown lenses, but you know he is. And you know without proof, but bone deep anyway, that he knows exactly how fluttery you were to be alone with his pale bro. You are so, so dead. You freeze for so long that it takes you at least 10 fucking seconds to notice the sign on the girl next to him is teal. It's not super high, but higher than you thought David was comfortable with. Sup, Crocker, he says, entirely at ease with being backed into a tiny block. Yes, hello, Dave. We didn't know you had company. He shrugs. Downstairs, neighbor. Owner of the kitchen, I'm apparently transforming into an aquarium. You briefly wonder if she and Dave met each other at a Sweet Horns pageant, because goddamn, those are gorgeously symmetrical curves. She's gonna have herself a right condescension rack in a few dozen sweeps. Anyway, she's super classy, because she makes zero mention of the pails at all. You'd almost think they went invisible. Yeah, you watch the way Dave's shoulders loosen a little bit, watching them, and you think, yeah, okay, they're totally crew. Maybe she's his pale bro's mate sprit? Recent thing. Could be. Was wondering if he drowned in the water-catching basin and was blocking the drain. You know how he is. It was totally likely. Oh, hell. Yeah, keep going about how he needs a keeper self. That is an awesome life decision, especially for shortening purposes. Oi, oi, Dave protests mildly. His Moirail says nothing. You are even more terrified.
How about we stop crowding the lady?
He says eventually, and takes a precise step backward, offering you just enough of a way out, if you're willing to turn your shoulders to keep from bumping into him. Might well be your last mistake. It doesn't matter, Jack, that he's barely taller than Dave and reaches maybe your chin. He pings you as the type where you'd be dead before you hit the ground. The teal chick blinks and moves much farther out of the way. Oh, right. My apologies. By the way, I realize it's utterly pointless to expect Dave to be polite and do the introductions, so my name is Jane Crocker. It's nice to meet you. She doesn't offer a hand, but for a second she twitches like she was going to. Wow. Super polite. Yeah. You follow her outside and into the leisure block. I'm Hadley LaCale. Wow, is it a relief to be away from the lovebirds, especially the mean one. Those are some impressive scars. May I ask what... Maybe she's an ashen mate instead? No one would flirt flush around their flush mate, right? Unless it's a trap she's making for you so Dave's Moirail has an excuse to off you, since he didn't see you pale hit on him firsthand. Haha! Okay, you're just being paranoid now. It's not that big a deal. Your scars are sweet. Halbeast. And this one's a purple ripper wasp. I work at the local duel pits, with the wild beasts, you know. Her face shows that she's got zero clue what you're on about, but she doesn't say so. She just nods. I see. That sounds like fascinating work, if rather dangerous. I like it okay. The pay's good. Welp, okay, how do you keep a pointless conversation going? Awkward. You look around the room, nudging a game grub back towards the gaming corner absently, and try to find a topic of conversation. Maybe you should just fucking walk out already. They've got it under control. Well, I suspect the cake will still make good-sized slices, even cut in four instead of three.
Every time I blink, my slice seems to get smaller, Crocker. My heart is in goddamn pieces here,
Dave's Moirail drawls from the ablution block. Would you condemn Dave to hunger and jealousy as we eat in front of him? She says, prim and proper, as she opens her backpack and sets on the low table. Wow, is that a delicious-looking cake? Do you really rate a slice? Wow, yes! A pause, and then Dave's Moirail goes, yep. As the boys start bantering, ugh, stop being cute! She offers you a slice on a paper napkin. It smells so good, you can't believe it. So not fresh from the package industrial shit. Wow, you think there might be real eggs in this? Oh, fuck you, bro. Jane, Dave calls out, you're now my favorite.
Are you really hitting on my diamond girlfriend while you're standing under a heavy-as-shit water tank I'm repairing? Does that sound like a smart life choice to you? Half the cake slice goes back out of your food chute in the form of a fine spray. Wait, wait, what? Jayen stares at you, nonplussed and dubious. You rein yourself in. You don't know what she uses as a weapon, for sure, but there's a real nice culling fork propped up against the wall by the front door, and you're pretty sure both the Miracle Moirails favor swords. The Miracle M... You're Deka's Moirail? You ask, trying not to boggle too much. One might say so, yes, the girl replies dryly, and arches an eyebrow in unimpressed skepticism. You wince a little, even though the girl is like one sweep younger and over a whole head smaller than you. But... Dave has come back out of the ablution block, and he and Deka stare at you in silent unison, shades blank and faces perfectly mirrored. You just fucking stare back. Because holy shit, what? When the hell did you two break up? You realize you're gesturing with your cake, and bits break off and fall on the floor, which is a shameful waste. But you can't stop yourself. Full rant ahead. Holy shit. Like, no, but seriously, Dave, what the fuck? It was like serendipity or something. You were so, and now you're, and she's here, and it's all fine? Whoa, when the hell did that even happen, man? I know we don't really chat much, but... Dave and Deka stare at each other. And then at you. And then they go...
We were together?
Like fucking mirror images. Dave's elbow is on Deka's shoulder. Holy shit. You need a moment there. So, you're not? Dave grimaces. No offense, bro. But hearing dating and Deka in the same sentence kinda gives me a rash of do not want. I'm gonna start scratching hard enough to take off all my skin, and I'll still be feeling dirty. Wow, asshole. Stop flattering me. Deka deadpans. I'll blush. It'll be a terrible deluge of kawaii sparkles and sakura petals. There will be no survivors. But I thought... You kind of want to start pacing. No, must keep cool. No freaking out in your cute neighbor's hive. That's way too intense a come on. Holy shit, you might actually have a chance. You're leaving the planet pretty soon, relatively. But, well, nothing says it has to be serendipity straight away. And you pity him quite a bit. He's fucking adorable and, well, maybe if he's got no other prospects. Wow. Here I thought you worked so well together. You let the teal chick nudge you into sitting down and eating some more cake. You need time to process, okay? Dave's moi Deka shrugs. We don't actually curb each other's behavior worth shit. Huh? Yeah, man, we're champion goaters. It's like a permanent one-upsmanship championship of assholes. It really looked like we were dating? Wow, gross. I mean, seriously, whenever I faceplant, not that I ever do, I'm way too cool and composed for that shit, but let's talk theory here. He's the first one to laugh in my face, I swear. But only when it's not serious, Teal'chick corrects him. When it's serious, I've found you are quite quick to have each other's back. Okay, what in quadrant smearing hell was that? It didn't sound jealous at all. Kind of reassuring, even. You shut your word trap around some more cake and don't say anything. You do that all the time. Talk too much and it lands you in deep shit. That's one thing you recognize so well in David, it's uncanny. Everyone sits around the low table and munches. It's oddly companionable. Wow, they're acting almost like your crew. Even though it twinges down your spine with almost stranger and not my territory. It's kind of nice anyway. Even if it's as reassuring as sitting down for tea with a distracted polar bear. Then again, they can afford it. There's three of them and one of you. So, okay, Hadley, be strong. Be strong and, above all, sound casual. You single then? Diamonds wise? Dave turns his shades to you and says nothing for so long you start to feel the awkward rocket back up. And it hadn't gone down all that low in the first place. It's not you, it's me. I'm just not ready for commitment, you understand? Dave! Jayen snaps. Don't be an asshole. You are mortified. You steel your spine, unclench your fists a little before your claws dig in, and they notice the smell of blood. Dekka slaps Dave upside the head. Ow, what? It was just a joke. Jigus, what's wrong with you guys? Dekka and Jayen exchange the kind of long-suffering look you usually see on Moirails of 30 sweeps in movies. Oh, okay. Yeah, you think you can see it a bit. It's so weird. After thinking of him and David as quadranted for so long, childhood sweethearts, a perfect pair, you almost want to berate him for cheating. Wow, rein in your conciliatory pings before someone beats them in for you, girl. They're slopping all over the place. Dave is... it's complicated, Jayen informs you cautiously. It's not. I'm single as fuck in that quadrant. All the quadrants, really. Quadrants are just too stupid to deal with. I say fuck that noise, let me be free to toss my mane in the wind and gallop away as I choose. Oh. Oh, wow. Poor guy. He'd better hurry up. He's what, 8 sweeps? Ascension's getting way close. Wow, now you're a bit worried for him.
Yeah, what about Rose?
Huh? He sputters. Wow. What about Rose? We're... shit, you know what we are, and it's nothing like that. What the heck, dude? Just because you're happy, trollfully shacked up, don't push it onto the rest of us. I think for the purpose of this conversation, Jayen says firmly, cutting her Moirel off before he can say anything. And miracle, he actually stays quiet. Wow. Huh. For the purposes of this conversation, we just need to consider Rose's reaction to an outsider being interested in you that way, Dave. He winces. Just because she's gotten a bit touchy recently. Fucking troll puberty. Hmm? She prompts him, noncommittal. Dave fidgets. Not a lot, but on him it's pretty obvious that that's what it is. So a friendly bro might have, patted her face in totally salacious ways a couple times. It was purely out of self-defense, Your Honor. I mean, she was starting to leak voodoos all over the place, and that shit feels really gross. It's like rolling your brain in raw sewage that's also full of razors and juggalos, I swear. We didn't go all the way and have, a feelings jam on top of her ex-neighbor's corpse or anything. My diamond is still pure for pale marriage, I promise. Huh. So that... Rose, she's...
Violet blood,
Dekka informs you, guessing what you wanted to ask somehow. The guy really is uncanny. Brr. Violet blood. Shit! David, the Rust Pride guy, man, fuck the High Bloods, seriously, has a maybe thing, with a fucking... fish troll? It's both unexpected and disappointing somehow. Both in that you are not crossing any troll with chuckle voodoos, so he's landing straight back into do not go there territory, and in that he was so... he never looked impressed in any way by higher castes, but now he's dating one? And what the fuck does that mean? You're being unfair. Maybe she's not big on caste either. Maybe she's cool. From where you are sitting, it sounds like a classical poor low blood is so fucking grateful they get to handle some important asshole's tantrums more allegiance, though. He's still denying it's a thing, though. You think about trying to... maybe you... if you, courted him? Properly? Openly? Not just being the neighbor with the wrench and the ready saw to lend? Maybe he'd choose you? Do you really want to invest so much of yourself in this? When you're leaving in not even half a sweep? When he's never seemed to notice? Do you want to make an enemy of this Rose? High Bloods keep grudges long as their lifespans, and yours ain't hardly gonna be lasting that long. Well, thanks for the cake. It was super tasty. I gotta go check on Mom, though. Kinda not smart to leave her alone that long.
David doesn't even walk you back to the door to make sure you leave and don't break or take anything. Just waves carelessly. Dekka is the one that follows you. How are they not Moirails again?
He's really not the way you imagine him, he says,
and you don't even know if it's a back off or commiseration. Maybe something in between. It's annoying either way. I don't know. Some parts were pretty much exactly how I thought. You turn to look at him, standing on Dave's doorstep. Behind him, on the couch, his Moirail and his "How is he not your Moirail?" are squabbling. He wants to eat the last piece. She won't let him. It'd be bad for him. No, stop. You think maybe they're a threesome? Maybe they swing. Maybe some secret arrangement that means there is no space for you. There never was.
See you later, maybe, Dekka says,
and closes the door gently and firmly in your face. You turn and walk away. Yeah, maybe. Author's notes. Hadley Lacaille, Yellowblood, female, very tall and raw-boned, scars everywhere, 9 sweeps old, frog mom, no psychic powers. Sign, Octans. Its name is Latin for the 8th part of a circle, but it is named after the octant, a navigational instrument. Octans was created by Nicholas Louis Decale in 1752. Out of faint circumpolar stars. Originally, it was known as Octans Hadleianus, in honor of the octant's inventor, John Hadley, who devised it in 1730.